Hello and welcome to the Bristol City Vixen Cast. This is our podcast all about Bristol City women who play in the WSL. My name is Nat Brown.
And my name is Deanne Withers, and we are talking to you on the evening after the afternoon before. And we're going to be talking today about Bristol City's 3-1 loss to Tottenham Hotspur women. And the Tottenham Hotspur goals came from Olga Athanin on the 31st minute, Martha Thomas. She scored on the 35th minute, and I'm going to get her name right, Evelina Simonen.
Simonen.
Yeah. For the second week in a row, we've had a Finnish goal scorer.
No way.
Against us.
Wild.
I know. Who knew?
Yeah.
On the 45+4 minutes.
So we went annoying. So annoying.
3 goals down at half time, and we pulled on back through the majestic
PK
of Emily Testrup.
Yeah, great penalty taker.
On the 64th minute. So, yeah, really, really nice to see that hit the back of the net. Despite the loss, it wasn't a bad performance, was it, Nat?
No, I enjoyed it a lot. I think there was loads of good stuff that happened. They didn't look loads better than us, certainly not for a 3-0 at half time. That just didn't feel right at all, did it?
No, it was quite
totally annoying. Didn't deserve it. Like, maybe like 1-0. Okay, fair enough. They took their chance. But definitely not 3-0 at half time. That felt really, really unfair.
Yeah, silly mistakes really, weren't they? It was disappointing because all of the goals came from mistakes. They were the not closing down of Athanin in the 31st minute. Very similar goal, actually, to Amy Palmer's last week, where she kind of teed it up. She received the ball on the outside of the box and teed it up and then just buried it in the bottom left-hand corner in this instance. It was a similar kind of goal, really. But they never really, throughout the game, they never really got behind us and they were kind of shooting in front of us. So I think that's a positive to be taken. But one of the big things that happened, and it's worth mentioning, was that Frank Bentley obviously was not in the goal throughout the game because she's injured. So that was announced just before the kickoff.
Yeah, so we were all expecting Fran Bentley to play, but just before kickoff, when the team sheet was announced, Marquise was in it as the number one, as the goalkeeper, and we heard that Liv Clark had been recalled from her spell at Watford, despite them doing really well. She's been asked to come back and, you know, maintain a seat on the bench in order to make sure that we don't have, you know, one of the academy kind of 12-year-olds doing that job in the WSL. So we've got a grown-up as the deputy.
Yes, exactly. And probably if Fran Bentley's still out against Arsenal...
Oh, she might have to play.
She might have to. Of course. Liv Clark might have to play against Arsenal because it would be match-tied or whatever the term is because she's her parent, playing against her parent club. Mm. So thank you to Shahan for pointing that out.
Yes, I hadn't considered that.
No, I hadn't. In the heat of the moment, that was not something that I considered, but it is a worthwhile fact to relay. So it wasn't the best debut for Marquise, it has to be said, even though she was being supported by a few Arsenal teammates in the stands.
Who did you spot, DM?
I spotted...
Viv,
the... our bête noire of 2019-2020 and 2018-2019. Yeah, but she was delighted that Bristol City are back in the WSL.
Yeah, but she thought, if I can get myself fit for that, I'll...
something to aim for.
I'll make even more records. But there was also Beth Mead, wasn't there?
There was. Beth Mead was there.
And the other ACL injured player from Arsenal, or one of...
ACL FC.
Veen Rota. So the three of them were there, weren't they? And
shouldn't laugh, it's not funny.
No, it's not funny, but it's remarkable how many of them are out with ACLs. That's just like weird. isn't it?
It's very peculiar.
Anyway, they were there and they were supporting Bristol because they had a an Arsenal loanee in goal. So they were honorary City fans, because they're not going to be Tottenham fans, are they?
You'd imagine not.
And they were
there, they're chatting to Furness at the end, so
they were
northeast connection and all that.
Yeah.
So Marquise didn't have the best game, looked a bit flat footed, didn't she?
On the big kind of where she had to move for the saves, the you know, like, yeah, she did. I mean, I think basically in women's football we've been spoiled rotten recently with like looking at Mary Earps all the time.
Yeah.
We get to watch Mary Earps.
Who's basically a ballet dancer,
who
isn't
is
she?
Just like an absolute ballroom dancer. She can fit like 25 steps in before she dives. She's just like she's just incredible. The reason she saves so many things is because her footwork is brilliant.
And Fran Bentley's footwork is
also
very good.
Fran Bentley's footwork is pretty good.
It's probably, you know, I'm not saying it's up there, but it is her strong point.
It's pretty good. She's good with her feet and she can move. That she does lots of, like, she steps a lot. So she is quite a good shot stopper, and part of that is her ability to move across the goal. So whereas Marquise is a different type of goalkeeper, she's really tall, so maybe she's traditionally not really had to have the excellent movement because her frame is huge. She's really, really tall, isn't she?
She's big,
but maybe that's part of the kind of contributing thing. Maybe she's not had to, like, she doesn't have to work on her footwork as much because her frame takes up literally more of the goal.
Yes,
but
absolutely.
On these couple of occasions, even someone of her height wasn't able to kind of cover the goal. So, yeah.
I think she just looked a bit, flat-footed. She didn't look, I'm sure she would have prepared for the occasion. And, you know, the amount of times I've completely fallen on my face despite preparing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very easy to do.
It's very, very easy to do when you're under pressure, you're thrown in, you know, and she probably felt awful last night. We're behind you all the way, Marquise. But I mean, I do think it is worth saying it wasn't a great debut. Picked up in the second half, a bit
Mind
more commanding.
You, she was good with her like
big claims
in the sky, and she did manage. She wasn't sure if something was a pass back at one point, so she just jumped up and headed.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
That was incredible.
We were
like,
all pretty shocked.
We were
about
like,
that.
Did she just do that?
We were shocked.
Yeah, because I think someone kind of spooned it up in the air, and you know, I think she was thinking 50-50. This could get given as a free kick if I catch it.
Oh, these days.
So she just thought, I know what I'll do. Get up there and I'll header it out. And she did. She climbed above the centre forward. She headed it out. It's incredible.
It was a bit surreal.
So I think if she hadn't have had those mistakes,
yeah,
we'd have all come up, like, you know, the kind of, yeah, just, in fact, if she hadn't have had the one mistake where she
the big
did,
bad,
she did kind of just kick it at Martha Thomas
the
and
big
it bounced
bad
into the
boo-boo.
Goal.
And
if she hadn't have had that, I think we probably would have gone, oh, all right.
Yeah, I mean,
not
they
bad.
Were well, they
good
were
moments,
worldies,
bad moments,
yeah.
But like, generally speaking, you yeah. know, not a bad debut.
We all have them. But yeah. She, yeah, the Martha Thomas goal, I mean, let's yes. just talk about it. Let's just get it out of our system. Not that it was, I mean, I was looking at my phone. So I actually, my friends were in the stadium and we weren't able to meet up before the game. So I was checking my phone literally at the moment when Martha Thomas was, the foreboding frame of Martha Thomas was bearing down on the equally
because,
foreboding frame of,
you know,
of
there
Caleb
wasn't
Marquise.
A safer moment. That's why you looked at your phone. You were like, nothing's going to happen. The goalkeeper's got the ball in their hands. They're going to roll it onto the floor and wallop it out. And it's going to go to Fionn Morgan up on the left channel or something. That was what was meant to happen.
It was languorous, wasn't it? Even Martha Thomas,
she
sort
she
of just
like,
jogged up, didn't she?
But that's again.
And as you
thing.
Said last week.
Yeah.
Made yeah. the prediction that Martha Thomas would
jog about, get hit by the ball, and it would go in the back of the net. And it happened. And it's makes me not want to speak, DM.
Well,
powerful person that
powerful
I am.
Powerful vision. You're just predicting the future. But I did, when I looked up from my phone, all I could see is the ball dribbling over the line. Marquise with her head in her hands, and Martha Thomas reeling off in celebration.
With those funny, not Spurs, but Martha Thomas fans at the front.
Yeah, I mean, they're worth a mention. And if you're listening, which you probably aren't, hello.
Hello,
you know,
thanks.
Who are
they
you?
They did have a join in.
They did join in. Well, yeah. they were like, we're Arsenal fans, but we love Martha Thomas. And they were screaming at her, weren't they?
They really, really loved Martha Thomas.
They really had a big old crush on Martha Thomas.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah, fair enough. Your thing.
And to see her score like that, you know, a magnificent goal like that.
You know, proper centre forward play. You know, I'm glad for I'm pleased for them.
I'm pleased for them. They were nice.
They were nice, actually, and they liked our chance. They were like, oh, you've got some good chance.
They were I'm having that.
I was just like, well, you know.
Yeah, ask Shahan.
Yeah, you can't necessarily credit us. Credit us where credit is due.
Anyway, they were nice folks, weren't they?
They were very nice, and it's it all contributed to the convivial spirit that was
very jolly atmosphere
in Block A of Brisbane Road at Leighton Orient. And we had a good old sing song. I thought we made quite a lot of good noise. Obviously, we had the coach that took us down. Would have been nicer if there were a few more people on the coach, but you know, all things considered, it was lovely to see some new faces on the coach, and obviously the ultras.
The ultras, you know, yeah, absolutely. You know,
propping up the seats. Yeah, so it was a merry band of gentle people.
Who
bombed down the M4 and then onto the M25.
Seemed to be on there the M11 for a little bit.
It is my worst nightmare, but we did get there eventually. And yeah, so 3-0 at half time, you're sort of thinking, what the hell? This is just absolute pants. But yeah, we did make, it was annoying because we played really well in the first half. See, we conceded the goals, but I thought we looked dangerous. We had a couple of good chances that we should have scored. I mean, or we need to be scoring. We need to be clinical. If we're going to get anything out of this season, we've got to put the ball in the back of the net when we are bearing down on goal. Phil Morgan, who had a very industrious and good game, effective game, particularly in the first half, I thought she maybe tapered off towards the end of the sort of the midpoint of the second half. But, you know, nobody can run that fast all the time. Mm. And she had a couple of good chances, well, one in the first half, one in the second half. And also Carrie Jones kind of ballooned it over the bar when she had a pretty good chance in the first half. So if we'd scored one of those, obviously it'd have been a different story. It would have been maybe 3-1 rather than 3-0, and that would have changed. I mean, it's all ifs, you know. It's all conjecture, but we didn't play badly, and I thought I liked what I saw on the pitch. I thought we were being positive in the first half, and that continued into the second.
Yeah, so we technically won the second half, didn't we? We scored a goal where they scored none. The goal we scored was Emily Testrup's amazing penalty.
Yes, very good.
Very good penalty. Congratulations on another goal.
Two PKs in a row.
Two PKs. I think that's quite it's quite gutsy, I think, being able to score a penalty. I don't know why. Maybe it's easier than scoring from open play because you just get a shot. But I think it's fantastically brave to even offer to take one. I was a goalkeeper and you always expected, no one expected you to do anything in a penalty show. So I always think strikers taking them, quite gutsy. So I quite like that she'd done it twice.
And she, you know, beat two really good keepers 2 weeks in a row. So the Leicester keeper and Becky Spencer, you know, very good keepers. So made them look ordinary.
Made them look ordinary with that one moment, that duel she won.
Yeah, very good. And a couple of other chances I mentioned, Fionn Morgan and I think Jamie Lee Napier also had a glancing header that drifted past the post. One of those that could have just sneaked in. I don't know how close it actually was because it wasn't on the highlights when I was watching the highlights. But it was definitely a moment just after half time when we looked a bit dangerous. And I think if we'd, you know, I say it's ifs and buts and yada yada, but yeah, I think if we'd got another goal, it could have been interesting, and Tottenham could have crumbled, could have collapsed, could have, should have, would have. But yeah, so that happened. So positives and negatives of the game. Negatives, we lost.
Yeah, that was quite a bad one. Yeah, that's got to be the negative, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's not great to lose.
No, haven't got any points yet, have we?
We haven't, and it's we are bottom, very much bottom of the WSL. I don't think anyone else. No Villa, surprisingly.
That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Villa. And Everton.
And Everton have also got nil point.
Nil point. Do you know what? I don't feel so bad about that anymore. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, it's fine. It's fine, isn't it?
You know.
It's fine. I mean, yeah. Aston Villa and Everton probably aren't going to get relegated. But
I don't know. I'm not sure about Everton.
You're
I think
not sure
Everton,
about Everton,
I think
are you?
It's probably between us and Everton now, and I'm going to call it. But we'll. I don't think, you know, what's the point in looking at the table? We're only two games in. I don't think the way we're playing at the moment, there was such a massive difference between the performance this week across the whole team. It looked so much more coherent.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked like they were playing for, you know, the whole 90 minutes, quote unquote. It was seemed, even though there were mistakes and there were individual errors and annoying, you know, giving away free kicks in a dangerous position outside the box. In this league, it can be fatal because opposition often has a player who can stick it top bins. But yeah, I think overall, I thought our shape looked pretty good yesterday.
Yeah, I liked our back four. So we had Chloe Mustaki, Naomi Lazell, Brooke Aspin, and Ella Powell as a back four, as opposed to last week's back three with wing backs, and it looked pretty solid, didn't it? It looked pretty sturdy. Certainly Spurs didn't get in behind us at all. Like we were saying, they had quite a few shots from outside the box, but I feel like that was because of good shepherding and good marshalling. Yeah, our back four were really excellent. They're all and they all kind of played with a calmness and maturity. You're saying about Ella Powell being less of a puppy dog, more of a kind of controlled performance from her. Lazell, again, absolute masterclass. And Chloe Mustaki looked really good in her kind of gritty, no-nonsense defensive role. I like her. She's just a good, solid left back, isn't she? She's just...
Yeah, just really good.
Really, yeah, excellent.
It's great to see her. Tough. Very, very tough, absolute monster. And I think having her on the pitch released the likes of Fionn Morgan and also Jamie Lee Napier. Jamie Lee Napier had a very good game, probably my player of the match.
Yeah, yesterday. She was great. She was really busy, and like I like her. She's got something about her, hasn't she? She's got a bit of kind of...
Needle,
yeah. She's got good energy. And she works really hard, and she's pretty quick, actually, isn't she? I think she's pretty quick anyway.
Yeah, she kept on popping up in dangerous places, and she was in amongst the action. Megan Connolly, much better game this week. I thought, for me, she was a bit anonymous last week and just looked a bit missing in action.
Yeah.
Thought she was better, showed what she was about for me yesterday.
And same for Rodgers. I like noticed Rodgers like a bit anonymous last week, but Rodgers this week, I was kind of like, oh, there she is. I think she is a player who typically doesn't do things that you're always going to notice. I think she kind of does slightly boring, dirty work in midfield, just being around, having good kind of... And she's, you know, just quite a disciplined player, just doing the right thing at the right time. You're not necessarily going to notice her a lot of the time, but she did a couple of things this time around, and I was like, that's why you're playing. Because I was, you know, that's why you're starting. She was in the right place at the right time.
Yes.
A lot of the time. So yeah. I kind of felt like our midfield, they looked a lot more solid. And the formation of having four at the back, not three at the back, I felt like that kind of worked a little bit better for us. Having more midfield players and more industrious forwards available to kind of take it to them.
Yeah, and game-changing and players. And Carrie Jones, you know, I liked Fionn Morgan and Carrie Jones up front. And obviously... Testrup is in that mix as well. Had another very good game. She scored the penalty. She's not flashy. She's quite quick, actually.
Yeah.
She's a surprisingly quick player. And she's not a flashy centre forward, but...
I felt she was more involved.
She was,
this time. She was more involved in the build-up, more involved in kind of like interplay. Like her, Jones, Morgan, Napier. I feel like there's potential for them to kind of like, you know... When they really start clicking, I feel like they're all very mobile, quite, they're just quite clever, aren't they? their movement's good. I think yes. that's something like we've had over the last few years with Lauren Smith. I think she gets players in who are not just going to rigidly stick to one job. Mm. And maybe sometimes that's to our downfall because we're kind of asking people to do too much or change too much in a game. But I feel like our forwards and even our wingbacks, they're very, very flexible.
Yeah.
And they can be asked to do like a multitude of jobs. And there might be like a 10-minute section where Carrie Jones is just flapping about all over the place and the other players have to respond to what she's doing.
Yes.
I don't know. I think like, I think if you play in like a Lauren Smith team, you have to be fairly flexible.
Versatile. And dynamic. But yeah, and Carrie Jones was another very, very good game for her. I thought she's a very good player. I think the way she shields the ball and gets away from players and the effort, the engine on her on Sunday was so impressive. She was just all over the pitch. I'd love to see a heat map of Carrie Jones on Sunday. She just seemed to be running everywhere, doing that kind of work that Abby Harrison so often does for the team, where she's just running around and, you know, deep defending, but then just pelting up the pitch. Really good performance from her. I'm really excited about having her in the team. Good player.
Yeah, and either her or Harrison being the one who kind of digs the ball out of midfield, and then having either her or Harrison being the recipient of said ball. That's really exciting, isn't it? So not Carrie Jones kind of like masterminding kind of herself out of a tight space, but then kind of having someone equally as tenacious yes. to pass it to. So yes. that's really exciting, because I think, yeah, the more of that we have, because I think the two games we've seen so far, when we just go at people, I feel like, you know, it looks like we're going to score.
Yeah.
People don't like, it's not like we don't just kind of sit back, defend and do nothing and have like, you know, an Ebony Saban character who can just kind of.
Yeah, it's creative. It's
like
a creative
we're actually
team.
Like playing football. It yeah. is like they are holding true to that kind of, you know, the thing that Lauren Smith said when she came in and tried to get promoted with us. It would be quite fun and it would be. Yeah, it would be a good football game to watch. And if you wanted to watch Bristol City, you would get some joy out of the way they play football. And obviously that's not every minute of every game, but I've already enjoyed the games a lot more than I thought I would.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the way they go about playing. There's always the hope. And I think we've just, on two occasions, just conceded too many goals.
Yeah, there's
to make
stuff
the real hope kind of, you know, you kind of partly don't really think you're going to get back into it, but they play with like a sort of freedom that they can try. Okay, we've conceded too many, but we'll try and score some goals. We won't give up. And the second halves have been really good in both games as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the endeavour and the creativity, and also I thought something that was very discernible on Sunday was the sense that the team understood their roles and responsibilities, and that there was a plan and that there was a tactic, and then that actually is quite dynamic within the game. You know, we talked about Fionn Morgan and Carrie Jones changing positions, so there's like moments and phases within games, isn't there, when they're switching things around. And I think at one point they changed to a back five as well, didn't they?
Yeah, I think there was a moment when it seemed that Fionn kind of became a like maybe Fionn became like a left wing back, and I'm not entirely sure, to be honest. Maybe they did. Maybe they just kind of were responding to Spurs getting a bit of luck out on the wings. Maybe they kind of thought, oh, they're doing very well in the wide areas. Maybe we need to kind of just send a little bit of reinforcement out there. But yeah, there did seem to be a patch of the game where Fionn was playing quite far left.
Mm.
But it might have just been, you know, where Bizet was just looking particularly good. I don't know. Bizet, that person.
Yeah.
When they look quite good. So maybe
I could get the spreadsheet out. I've got the WSL pronunciation spreadsheet.
Just assumed she was French.
I think she is French. Yeah.
And then I thought you should probably take the T off.
Bizet? Okay.
Like ballet.
Yeah, I'm just gonna.
You're gonna look that one up.
I'm gonna look it up, okay. And I'm gonna do that while I'm talking as well.
Okay,
so.
I'm looking forward to this. So, for those of you that don't know, there is a how to pronounce WSL players' names guide.
Goodness me, that is the full name is Céline Bizet-Ildiz. Where is she from? So anyway, keep talking.
Yeah. Am I just going to talk about her name?
No. She's just okay. She's about to say it.
She's about to say it. Okay. I kind of want to hear it as well. So. Yeah. Céline Bizet.
Céline Bizet, Ile du Say.
Hmm.
So I think that means she's another Nordic. So not French at all.
I think it's the Céline. That threw me off.
Yeah, Ile du Say, that's definitely. Okay. We're embarrassing, aren't we? We're learning a lot about the world. There's a lot of Nordic footballers in
so many.
In the WSL, it would seem. So yeah. We're just mere championship fans.
Yeah.
We'll up our game, guys, and we'll do the research. But you know, it's tiring doing this. I've already recorded it once, and anyway, that's another story. Right, okay.
I think this one's going really well.
It's going really, really well. The other one was a bit flat, wasn't it? So we did us a favour.
Should we talk about some other positives from the game?
I don't know if there is any, really. So I think we've kind of gone through. What's your thinking?
No, I just thought I could see the list, and I thought it had some more stuff on it.
I think, you know, I think we've covered a lot of the positives, and I suppose the main negative now, I suppose, is the easy games are over, quote unquote. We started the season with a game against Leicester, against Tottenham, two games potentially that we could have walked away with some points on the board from, but we don't. We've got no points, nil point, and with a goal difference of -4.
Mm.
And we've now got, we've got a game against Southampton in the Continental Cup, which hopefully will be a really good game. Southampton are flying high at the top of the championship. We are propping up the WSL, so hopefully we'll have a good, it'll be a really competitive, exciting game. Southampton will be motivated to beat us, to put us in our place.
Mm.
And, you know, we'll need to get us some confidence after losing a couple of games as well. So looking forward to that. Back at the RHPC on Wednesday night. Should be fun under the spotlights. Going to be a good game. And then we've got two very tricky looking fixtures. Away at Man City on Sunday. And then at Ashton Gate. Under the floodlights again. 6:45 kickoff. Favourite kickoff time. Sunday night. Against Arsenal. And in front of a record crowd as well. I understand. So smash the record. Well done to Ashton Gate. It's worth saying, I think there was less than 2,000 people at the Spurs game yesterday. And the last game we played was like 4,000 plus.
Yeah.
So we're doing really well with our attendances. And I know it's, you know, they probably didn't want to come and see Bristol City, fools. But yeah, I think if Tottenham can't draw a crowd of more than 2,000, I think that's a bit rubbish, isn't it?
Yeah, I was a bit surprised actually, because it felt like there was quite a lot of people in their Spurs shirts heading around the stadium, and they got a nice stadium. Quite liked it. I thought it was a nice place to watch football. If I was a Spurs fan, I'd certainly be getting down to Leighton to watch the women. I thought it was good. I enjoyed it. But we'll have lots of people there at Ashton Gate, and we're going to make a terrific noise.
A ferocious noise.
We'll be the 12th player, I'm sure.
And, you know, how do you feel about it? Do you think there's any hope?
The Arsenal game?
Any of them?
Man City, I've said this before, everybody's beatable. I think Man City taught us some lessons last year in cup competitions. They gave our bums a bit of a smack when we were doing well in the championship. They kind of beat us really, really badly. But I do think it'll be a bit different now. I think if we don't concede early, if we don't concede right before half time, and if we don't concede two goals in less than 5 minutes, I'll be happy. And if we score, I'll be very happy. So if we can come away 3-1 with those conditions on the goals that I said about, I'll consider that to be a game well played.
Yeah.
Because they've got some excellent players. And I know that potentially Hemp and Greenwood might not play because we're not sure about their suspensions, because they both got a red card the other day. But regardless, it doesn't matter if they're playing or not. They've got strength in depth that's kind of, they'll probably have someone who's an international taking that those places. So, yeah.
Yeah.
They've got a good squad. They haven't got the best squad in the WSL. They haven't got, you know, they're not the best team, but they're certainly very good. Yeah. So, and we need to kind of be very disciplined, very focused, and if an opportunity arises, absolutely have to take it.
Yes. Yes, indeed. So I think all we can say is wish you the best of luck, girls.
Good luck in Manchester. And then the visit of Arsenal. Yeah. Well, who knows? I mean, they've only got 1 point, haven't they?
Yeah, and they haven't had the best start to the season. And they also had they went out of the Champions League. I've got a horrible feeling that their form is going to start to click exactly at the point when they play us. You never know. Strange things happen in football. It's a game of football. We could upset the apple cart. We could pull off a result.
Yeah, it could happen. Can't. It's not completely unfeasible. It's still a game. It's still a football match.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, one of their players gets sent off. Something silly happens.
Yeah.
You know, we get a bit of luck. Ball ricochets off someone's bum into the goal.
Yeah.
To be fair,
Chloe Kelly gets sent off for taking a shirt off, second yellow.
That's the Man City game.
With
the Arsenal game, I think their defence looks a bit dodgy as well. So from watching them a few times, they don't look the most cohesive defensive unit. And I know they had Mallard, who's an amazing player, score against him on Friday. But I mean,
it was a mistake. She shouldn't have been able to score.
I think Marquise was trying to make a worse mistake than the Arsenal goalkeeper, wasn't she? It's like, what could be worse?
Well, you know, yeah.
I actually think the Arsenal keeper's.
I think that was worse.
Was worse because she looked like a kind of frightened. It was like the ball was like a frightened ghost or something.
She didn't.
It's the ball.
She certainly didn't like seem completely on board with the idea that footballs bounce.
Yeah, which is surprising.
It was a bit like, you know, she thought it was going to be a medicine ball and just kind of, or a shot put or something and just thump, right in the ground.
Yeah, so I think Marquise should be comforted by that.
Yeah, and she, you know, she's the number one, isn't she? Aren't they doing that funny thing that Arsenal are doing where it's just like, who's the number one?
I don't know. I can only deal with understanding what's happening with my own team, let alone other people. So just only got just a certain amount of bandwidth to... To know what's going on. But I did watch the match the other day and I thought, well, they may be a little bit dodgy in defence. Not the most solid pack at the back. So that's something to be...
Pack at the back? Is that new?
It could be a phrase.
I like it.
So we'll have to see what happens there. But Fran Bentley out for 2 to 3 weeks. Abby Harrison might be back for the Arsenal game, but we just don't know. We don't get this information. So we're all a bit, you know, who knows what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, WSL, you know, we're here for it, aren't we?
Absolutely.
Whatever happens.
We've had a lovely time.
I've enjoyed it. It's been nice, and it has been nice to, you know, whatever people say, it is actually quite nice to watch the better footballers and feel a unique form of terror when very good is playing football.
Yeah, but it's been nice so far, because although we've lost both games, I don't feel like we've been completely overwhelmed and outplayed. I feel like we've just lost the games because we've not been like
smart enough.
It's just been like, yeah, it's not because we're not good enough.
Yes.
As a team, it's because we've been maybe a bit, naive or like lacking in kind
smarts,
of
game smarts.
Yeah, and just like just that moment where you can turn a game on its head. So those things will come because we're set up to play well and play exciting football. And, you know, if we can score goals, there's always a chance. And I think, you know, we're looking like we can score some goals. And yeah, there's just, yeah, it's not over yet.
It massively isn't. And I think the more the team plays together, the more they're going to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we will get better and we will become more solid and we will win some games.
Absolutely.
And we're going to cause some teams a bit of trouble.
Yeah. Bring it on.
Bring it on. So that's it for today. We will follow up at some point in the future, mm-hmm. most likely next week after the Man City game. Thank you as ever for listening, and we'll look forward to you joining us next time when
we go again.